The time has come that we would hear the word of the Lord, and so I would ask that you would offer up a prayer on your behalf and on behalf of our brother as he would bring the message of this hour. Elder Gordon McCann.
Operator error. Are we on? Good morning. Now that I've made my grand entrance, right? It's good to see each one of you here. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to feel good. I spent some horrible days in Missouri being sick, you know, because of the weather, whatever. But I'm recovered, as you can see, and I'm glad to be with each one of you. I was asked to preach there in the East Local and in the Temple Off the same day, and to some extent, my thoughts are going to be expressed here today, but more fully. To some extent, I need to repent in the sense that there was something on my heart and mind, but I wasn't able to kind of put it all together. I knew it was there. It was kind of hard, and I hope and pray that I'm able to do it today. Today the sermon is talking to all the young people, and I'm talking about from the ones that are sitting up here in the front, and those new married couples, and those of you that are living in the day today and wondering, what do I have to look forward to? What am I supposed to be doing? And really, this is to you. I want to start off with a scripture verse this morning in the book of Revelation, and when I read this, you're going to go, that didn't help very much, but hopefully when I get through this, it'll make some sense to you. Here in Revelation in the 18th chapter, and I want to start with verse 4, and I'll read to verse 5. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And really, it's speaking of the fall of Babylon. And really, it's the spiritual Babylon that is to take place of this world just prior to the coming of Christ. And so just by starting with this, you might say, well, that's a bummer. What am I supposed to live for? And hopefully I'm going to draw a parallel to that to help you to understand what it means to come out of Babylon. What is the Lord asking you to do? Not to get married, to get married, go to school, not to go to school, to grow up. What is he saying? You know, we always hear that the time is short. It is. But we know that in the times past when we find Paul had to deal with people who they believed that the coming of the Lord was going to happen right away, and they didn't take jobs, and they kind of sat around saying, okay, we're ready, let's go. But it wasn't the time, and Paul had to talk to them. And so this is to you, to your day. I hope and pray that it will make sense to you. I would like to go to the book of Jeremiah. It is the one that some of the scripture verses there that I talked about, but I want to amplify it a little bit and put it in perspective for you to show as a parallel what I believe the Lord wants you to do in your life. So in Jeremiah in the 29th chapter, and I put a title, Dwelling in Babylon, okay? Meaning that you're called to come out of Babylon, but you are going to be dwelling in it. So what are you to do? What are you to look for? What is it that you should be doing? And I believe Jeremiah kind of gives us a glimpse of that in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. And these are the things that I was struggling with because I could see a parallel, but I didn't know how to really kind of give it, to help you to see what I was seeing as the Lord had impressed upon my heart. So here in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, just starting off with verse 4, I give you a little bit of history here. This was the time in which Israel was being overcome by Babylon around 605. That's when Nebuchadnezzar came and started to try to make a puppet state out of Judah, out of Israel. And we, living in the country that we live in, we don't fully understand the political struggles among different countries and things. But you can see, like Russia and Czechoslovakia and different countries, they try to make puppet states out of them. To an extent, the United States and Britain and that, we try to promote democracy among other countries. We don't say, you know, this is the person you need to use and you need to elect him and have him as your emperor or whatever. Maybe sometimes that has happened in times past, but this king, Nebuchadnezzar, went and he started conquering. And it was the will of the Lord at this particular time because of the sins of Israel. But that's the historical background here. And so we find that there was groups of people in Judah that were fighting against it in 605. That's when, you remember, Daniel and his three companions were carried off into Babylon. And you guys all know the different stories of Babylon. But that was the beginning of it. There was three different movements that Nebuchadnezzar moved upon Israel, and as they rebelled against it, finally Nebuchadnezzar destroyed them and carried the rest of them off. That's the history. Now, where we're at here in Jeremiah, in the 29th verse, there was a prophecy that Jeremiah prophesied concerning Israel, and you can find it in the 25th chapter. It said he pronounced 70 years that Israel would be in the wilderness or in Babylon. 70 years, there would be a time. And there was a promise that after the 70 years, they would come back. He would bring them back. That was the prophecy that was given through Jeremiah. But there were other prophets and other diviners and other dreamers that was trying to countermand those things that were given to Jeremiah, saying something a little different. And they hardened their hearts against those things that God had given to Jeremiah to give to his people. And with that hardening of the heart came them being carried away into Babylon for 70 years. Now, with that foundation, let's go to verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, of God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. So those are all those people, everyone, that was carried away. He's talking to them, okay? Let's see what he had to say. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Oh, okay, so when I read about Babylon, that you want to, that you are to come out of her, why was it that we were to, so that we wouldn't receive her plagues? But here we see that they are in Babylon, and the Lord is talking to them to live with that promise that he would call them back. He was protecting them. I'm going to give an example of Daniel and how that worked. Take your wives and begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. Now, this didn't mean that when they went to Babylon that they were to find, wives and husbands among the Babylonians that believed in false gods. They were to follow that commandment that the Lord gave them through the Mosaic Law, that they were to take wives of their own faith, their own belief, to be strengthened, to strengthen their families as they raised them, to raise them up in a manner that was pleasing to God, just like what we preach and teach today, that when you get married, you try to not be unequally yoked, that you try to raise your children in a manner that was pleasing before God, those things that you understand that are of God. And he's saying, go ahead and do that. And be of good cheer in that, because he will bless you in that like he did them. But there's more to the story that I want to continue. I told them in the East Local, I said, you know, in times past, Brother Jay had pointed out that he had repented, because when we were young men together and we thought about things, we wondered, should we have children? Because of the day is so short. And he said, I had to repent because I was wrong in my thoughts, and I too are no different. because I had those same thoughts. I had those same concerns. I don't want you to have those. I don't believe God wants you to have those thoughts. He wants you to follow Him and to come out of Babylon and follow His commandments and be His children. And He will bless you if you stand on that foundation. No different than He did with those here in Israel, in Babylon at this time of old. Again, drawing that parallel. Build your houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit. Take your wives and beget sons and daughters and take your wives and your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may increase there and not diminish. That is what the blessings all are about, God and His children. He wants for each one of you. He wants you to prosper. As long as you do it in Him, He will bless you. As you allow that small, still voice to guide and direct you in your life, as you follow the commandments of God, He promises He will bless you. No matter what comes, when He finally does come, He will bless you. And the next part is very important. And this is to our day. It really is a parallel to our day. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. And pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Okay. In our lives today, I mean, you look at the news, you look at the TV, there is all kinds of chatter and nasty stuff, and there's no peace. There's people angry on all kinds of sides. They are running to and fro. They're finding ways to destroy, to whatever it is. That's all you see. And if that's all you consume, you're going to have gloom and sadness in your heart concerning the outlook of your life. Now, all this that was going on during this time, there was wars, and there was a king now set up, and there was some strict things that they had to follow. And so it wasn't pleasant all the time there, but He's calling them to peace. And that's what God calls us today, to peace, to pray for our nation, that our leaders in that could at least reconcile themselves, that we among ourselves and at work or wherever we are, at school, that we walk that walk of peace in Christ. That when somebody says something that like the other day, I took a walk as I normally do, and there was a conversation with some men over there flying their airplanes in, and the two of them made some very derogatory, you know, comments, and I said, you know, I don't believe that. I believe you're wrong in your thoughts. And another guy that I knew that I had talked out before, he said, you're right. I don't either. I don't agree with you two. That's our calling. All right, I didn't do it in a bad way. He didn't do it in a bad way. We just pointed out that that wasn't really the right way of thinking. And so we are called to peace. And they kind of reasoned in their heart and mind and just settled that, well, we'll believe, we'll just continue up the way we thought. But it was our light here in this world that we live in the Babylon that we live in, but we're called to peace, all right? And you can find those examples in your own life, but we are called to seek peace and to carry that spirit with us wherever we go. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you, now listen to this, deceive you, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. It's important for us to understand that the deceptions that go on within the body of Christ as well. Different beliefs and concepts, we have to be aware. No different than in the days of Israel. So what is he speaking about here? What were they dreaming about? What were the prophets prophesying about? They were prophesying contrary to the things that Jeremiah was given. Contrary to those things that God had said, this is going to happen 70 years. There was a earlier in the chapter, in chapter 28, you find there was a man named Hananiah who was a prophet that walked up to all of the elders there. He says, I'm going to 2 years, and we're going to carry these things that were carried out of the temple back. And he broke the yoke of Jeremiah. The yoke was a symbol that he wore a symbol of a yoke. And he wore that on purpose as a visual for the children of Israel, that the Lord had said that they would be yoked by these countries. But if they allowed them to be yoked and live like he said, you wouldn't be carried away. You would be able to live in your own land. But they didn't believe it. They believed those things of Hananiah. And he broke that yoke, and so the Lord said, he said, then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hannah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee off of the face of the earth this year. Thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. But there were others. There were others who were having dreams and purporting that these were things of God, and the Lord said, no, it is not of me. So it's very important in our day and age to consider these things. So we find that they're living in Babylon, and I want to stress with that, the Lord said, I will bless you there if you continue in my ways. So let's see, let's look at Daniel in the first chapter of Daniel. You can see how the Lord worked with Daniel and those that were carried out earlier in that at the beginning of that 70-year period. So we find in Daniel 1, and I want to read verse, 3 and 4 of Daniel 1. And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom, cunning, and in knowledge and understanding of the science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And so he was asking that they would bring these young men who were of that stature. And Daniel and those three that we read in the book of Daniel met that criteria, and the king appointed unto them. So this is what he did afterward. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So he's given a 3-year period. He's saying, okay, bring these kids here, teach them of our language, feed them off of my table, because they are of the princes and that of Israel. I want to show them that I'm willing for them to learn, and that they can learn of me, and they can grow, right? Do you remember the story here? And now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azarech, under whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave Daniel. So they went and they changed the names of those four men, to try to assimilate them into their society. And they gave them basically names of their own false gods. From the things that they had names of Israel, they turned them over to names of their false gods. But the important thing here is that Daniel, he desired to make peace and to make the best of the condition that he was in. So he was given that table, the king's table, to eat from. But it happened to be that it was against the law of Moses. So I'm drawing a parallel to you in your own lives in Babylon. Those things that are not of God, he doesn't want you to partake of it. He wants you to stand firm on those things that you know are right. In the things that you eat, in the things that you drink, the things that you do in your life, that you try and do those things that God has called you to do in righteousness. And so Daniel, when he saw this, Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, because more than likely they were offered to idols, and he didn't want to do that, eat those things that were given to idols. And the wine, he didn't want to drink that as well. And so he proposed that they would give him, he talked to the main head eunuch there, and he said, well, that the eunuch came to him and said, hey, you want to kill me? If you don't eat, I'm going to have my head chopped off. And Daniel says, okay, let's reason here. You know, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse or vegetables and water to drink. And if there's no change in my countenance or if I look healthy, then everything's okay. Right? And so how do we apply that to our own life? When some of our friends and that wants to take us to things, to do things that are not of God, and we say, no, let us show you a better way, how you could have a better life. And you give them an example of the things that you know is right, and they see it. Isn't that a testimony of your faith in God? And you're not becoming part of that or partakers of the things of Babylon. You're coming out of Babylon, but you're living in it. And that's that balance that we have to come to in this day. God wants to bless you. He wants you to have those beautiful things that he had commanded from the very beginning, to be fruitful and multiply, and I will bless you. And I'll bless your families. That's the promises of God. And he can give it to you in this life, in this time that we live in, even though we're close to the time in which the return of Christ is. Just like that timetable that we have here of 70 years. So as we go along, continue in, I lost my place, Jeremiah in the 29th chapter, okay, verses 8 and 9, excuse me. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let's go to 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Is that not the promise that Christ has held out to all who believe in him? As he was raised, we will be raised as well, that he is going to return and claim his people, those who have followed him. And in the meantime, don't you think he would bless you? Don't you think that you would get all the good things that God would have for you? Does it mean that you're not going to have trials in your life? Of course they are. Brother Adam's finding out about that. You know, life is tough. You may lose your job, but should you lose hope? No. Our pastor as well lost his job. So they're both. They're praying about it. They are standing on the promises that God said he would bless you if you keep my commandments. I know that's true because I had to go through that same process. And I had to get out of the military. You know, it was by a sermon that helped me to understand I needed to separate myself from the military because I was not my own person. I was a master to the government, and they'd call me anywhere I went. And I wanted to serve God. And if I wanted to serve him more perfectly, I had to remove myself from those things. And he blessed me. And that's the same with us in our own lives. I hope I'm making some sense. I hope that you understand that I want you to have hope in those things that Christ has called us to, that beautiful hope, not only in this world but the world to come. Excuse me. At the same time, we see that Ezekiel in 597, he was some of those that were carried off into Babylon. He was prophesying against the same things, those same false prophets, those same false dreamers and diviners. So it wasn't just Jeremiah that was prophesying against him. It was also Ezekiel, and there were others. But those are two you can see, and you can read that in Ezekiel in the 13th chapter, that where the Lord, through Ezekiel, was chastening his people not to listen to these false prophecies and dreamers. Don't become unfocused to the things I have taught you and the things that are true, the things that I've called you to stand upon. in Jeremiah, I'll continue on, and this is, I read the 10th verse. It's the 11th and 12th. I've read it to you before, and I'm going to read it to you again because it's a beautiful promise to us. For the 11th verse of the 29th chapter, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." Sometimes we don't realize that, you know, the Lord, that relationship, the Lord has that desire to have that relationship, and He wants you to understand that He loves you. He wants you to understand He thinks about you. He wants you to understand that you're just not some digit, some part of the millions and millions of people on this earth, but He has an individual, personal relationship for each one. And I know that's hard for us to understand, but He knows your thoughts, He knows your intents, He knows your heart. And He does have that, if you allow it, that personal relationship in your life. But you have to want it. You have to seek it. He says, knock, right? And He'll answer. But "for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And again, I said that expected end, what is it? That's that promise of eternal life, to be part of His kingdom, that we endure this life, and at the end, we'd be able to enter into His rest. That's our expected end. But in the meantime, are we going to have trials and those different things? We will. And we will make decisions that are not right, and we'll suffer the consequences of it. But in all that, He is there. He is there with you, if you allow Him, to bless you, to pick you up, to help you, to correct you. All those things a father would do, He is there. And He will bless you as well. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon Me, and you shall go and pray unto Me, and I will hearken unto you. That's the promise of the Lord. Satan is going to try to take you and say, look over here, He doesn't like you, you've sinned, you're a crumb, you're a bum, He doesn't want anything to do with you. That's Satan speaking to your heart. Okay? I know those thoughts. I have felt them in my own life. But you have value before God. Why? Because you were created in His image. He is your, you are His work. And He wants to hear from you. He wants you to be a part of Him on this earth, to make that choice. So pray unto Me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek Me and find Me. That is the ultimate of the promise. When ye shall search, what? For Me with all your heart. You have to really desire it. You know, you really have to really want it and search Him, and He will be found. That takes earnest effort. That takes humility. That takes patience. Those kind of things are not part of us in this physical life, is it? But I'm going to tell you that when you do exercise it, it does work. And you can ask others who have exercised that same thing. It works. And He will bless you. So, let's bring it to in the days of Christ as He spoke to His disciples back in Matthew in the 24th chapter. You can go to verse 3 there. You find here that He's talking about the future. They are looking at the temple, and His disciples are there, and He's kind of giving them a little understanding of what's going to happen. Now, this is going to span from the time when the temple is going to be destroyed after Christ has died and resurrected, and what's going to happen to the people throughout that period of time, even up to the time that we live in. And so I'm going to skip to the time which we live in. But what He said here in Matthew 24:3, "And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciple came unto Him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world?" And so I'm just going to hit upon a couple of the highlights there that really pertains to us living in Babylon, okay? So, one of the very things that he says, you can drop down to verse 24 and 25, and it says there, for there shall be shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. And that was the same thing in the day of Jeremiah. There were false prophets, false dreamers, diviners, whatever they were false. They were providing a false narrative against those things of God, and God pointed it out. And it's the same thing here. So don't be discouraged when you come across those things, right? These I have told you before, that these things, be not deceived, is really the underlying. And how can we not be deceived? Is if we have a very close walk with the Lord, in tune with Him, His foundation, the things that He has taught, availing ourselves in the Word of God. That's why in that eighth chapter of John, you know, if you want to be His disciples, continue in His Word. That's the important part of that. That's what's going to help us not to be deceived. The next thing is if you drop down to verse 33, and this is again talking about our time, so we'll read 33. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but the Father only. Again, leave it to God. Leave it to that great plan and allow Him to bless you in your life and be a part of Him. He will take care of you. And when those events come, you will have been taken care of. Let Him worry about that. Don't you worry about those things. You focus on that person that you see in the mirror. And make sure that you are walking in a manner that is pleasing before God in all times and all places. Because you don't know, you may die the next day. Like those people that were in the airplane when that engine went out. I didn't think that when they hopped on that plane, they were thinking about that. And imagine when that engine blew up, they were kind of going, uh-oh, is this the day that I die? Am I really ready? I hope and pray that you're ready at any time. That you have that close relationship with God, that if you were to die today, that you would be able to enter into His rest. That's what we're called to be. So like in the, so it goes on, it says, but as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were, what? Oh. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving and marrying until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now, I would imagine Noah was eating and he was caring for his family and raising them, but he was doing the things that God had called him to do. And he knew that the time was short, but there was a long time of building the ark while all this was going on, right? And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also the coming of the Son of Man. So there was one example, eating and drinking, the normal things that are occurring in life on the just and the unjust. So then the next thing is, you can find in the book of Luke, there's another example given to us, Luke 17 chapter. And verse 28. So you find here in the 17th chapter, verse 28, he had already talked in the earlier verses 24 through 27. He talked about Noah, but then he also says in verse 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. All I'm bringing this to you because it's telling you about the day we're living in. I've used that thing in Jeremiah as the example. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. As he did to those in the Jews back in the days in Jeremiah, he's going to be doing the same in the days that we live. He's going to have a people. He's going to bless them. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be with him. But he wants you first to seek the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. And then all those things will be added to you. That's the important part. But here is the days in Lot, okay? You know the story. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained and the brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It's kind of like what we were reading this morning in the Book of Mormon when at the resurrection of Christ, 3 days of darkness, that great destruction. Those people didn't realize that they were going to be sunk into the depths of the sea or buried by mountains of earth. Those that were the judgment fell upon. But in all that, he preserved the more righteous. And that's, I hope and pray, is us. So let's go to verse 31 in chapter 21 of Luke. The next thing that he says, take heed to yourself, right? A warning. Let's take heed to ourselves. So I'll read verse 31 through 36. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. So that's all those things. If you're familiar with the scriptures and you know the prophecies and you can kind of see those things. And we're really blessed. We're able to see all through history those things that God has foretold that has taken place. And we're kind of running out of things to come before he returns. And so it's like that. Right here, when we see these things and we can recognize them and we can understand that they have been, those were true sayings that God had prophesied and have taken place. And so we can take heart in that. And so we can know kind of where we're at. It says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And so it culminates to a generation. And that's why I drew that parallel of 70 years. I kind of think we're kind of that generation. I may be all wet. But I believe that, like in Jeremiah, where that was 70 years proclaimed upon Jerusalem or on Israel, that he would return them. It's a similar thing here in these scriptures that we read in Matthew, the words of Christ in Luke, that this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled, that there was a time frame, maybe 70 years, whatever, but there would be a time frame from the time in which that time clock started to the time which Christ would come. And I believe that we're living in that time. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so let that day come on you unawares. And now I'm going to bring you back to those days of Jeremiah that he had to live through, and he told them about these 70 years, and he told them to go out there and have children and build homes and do all these things and make peace. Guess what? It worked real well. It worked very well. Because at the time when Ezra was given the command from King Cyrus, which was prophesied by Isaiah that there would be a King Cyrus to command, that would give an edict that would tell Israel to return and to build and to come back and rebuild their temple. Ezekiel talked about it, even gave them the whole plan of what they were to build. But guess what? When that call went out, what do you think they were doing? They were busy raising children, doing all those fun things, those things God had blessed them in. And they forgot about the rest of the story, that they were to return. They were to return. And I believe that's kind of like what we're in today. We're in that period of time where the Lord has called us to be blessed, and we get into the world and we try to be a light to the world. We're in Babylon, but he calls us out of Babylon because we're only here temporarily for a purpose, for his plan. There is a plan. He wants you to have these blessings, but he don't want you to to fall into this pitfall. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting or excess, drunkenness and cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares, that you've been enjoying it so much, you kind of forget about God. And that's what Israel did. It was three times that they were called to come back, and only a few came back. And they were never really successful in those things that God had planned for them. For as a snare shall it come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of God. And that's what we're called to do. To enjoy the blessings, but be watchful. Know the day that you're living in. And daily look at your lives and try to figure out where am I in my life that I'm actually part of Babylon, and where is it where I've come out of Babylon? And I'm really walking that right path. Well, that's a daily thing. And it's not just for you guys, it's for us. We've talked about it this morning in the priesthood meeting. We recognize that need because we see the failures in our life. And so it is for us to help you to understand that you need to look as well. To continue. But to have that beautiful hope. That understanding that God knows the thoughts that he has for each one of you. And it's good thoughts. It's thoughts that he loves. And he cares for you. And he wants you to be a part of him. So, there's a warning. In Jeremiah in the 17th chapter. Where in verses 5 through 8, it says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in a man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. And we can do that in our life in a lot of ways. We can trust in other people who we feel are smart and intelligent or whatever, and they try to give us guidance in our life. That's not what God has asked us to do. He asked us to come to him for the guidance and direction, and then he will help you with these things. Are there good people that he uses to help you with that? Yeah, there are. But you've got to be always watchful. You cannot put your trust in an arm of flesh. You will fail. That's what happened to Israel when they put their trust in false prophets and dreamers and diviners and all those people that were saying something totally different than what God had already ordained that was going to happen. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Again, all that does is recall a beautiful sermon that I heard our brother Don speak about long ago. About in the desert, and you can see, if you're in the desert, everything's dry, except for all of a sudden you see this tree out on a hillside, and you know, what's there? Well, there's water, because it's flourishing. And that's those who will trust in the God who created you, even Jesus Christ. You could be that tree. The Lord says there in Jeremiah 9 and 10, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I don't have to tell you anything new there. You know your own hearts. And you know all the things, the missteps and the things, those things that are in your heart. It's kind of like what I had that experience there, like I told you about with those men. Because I could see their hearts. Why could I see their hearts? Because their words testified what was in their heart. So I knew it. I knew what was in their hearts. And it was not of the Lord. So, I, the Lord, search the heart, and I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That can go in the positive way, and that can go in the negative way. Meaning that if there's things in your heart, and you pursue it, and you want it, God is going to give what you want in your heart. And it may not be the right thing. And it may even be to your destruction. But that's your choice. And he will give it to you. And you got to be careful with those things. Because I know in my own life, there were, you know, when I was trying to make decisions sometimes in my work, and I pursued the things and that's what I wanted and I got it. And then I realized I had done exactly what I wanted and he gave it to me and it was wrong. God does not change. In his ways, his path is a very straight, narrow path. And to remember that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. I want to give to you a father's admonition. I like this for your younger ones, those of you that are in your youth. In Proverbs 3, 1 through 13, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. That's the promise that his spirit would be within you and that his commandments would be on our hearts, meaning that his spirit would be with us to help us to understand and to bring to light his words to us as we live our lives. For the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. That promise long ago in Proverbs is still today. And that's what I was trying to get to you. What? Thy days, length of days, long life, peace, they can be added to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tablet of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. In the Book of Mormon, another scripture verse that Don asked us to memorize, right? He that is righteous is favored of God. And that's a true saying. Very much so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, meaning that you need to acknowledge your nothingness. You can see your weaknesses and you lay it before him that he might make you strong, that he might help you in those weaknesses, to make those weaknesses strong to you, meaning that these things that go in your life and you allow Christ to help you to conquer those things, now you can bear your testimony how God richly blessed you in overcoming this thing. And I know because it's true. And I can share that with you and others. And I can teach about it. I can warn people about it. I have that testimony to share with others that it is possible. And God hears the cries of his children. And he loves them. In all thy ways acknowledge, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Oh, now, when you're young, you think you know it all, right? Sometimes even when you're older, you think you know it all. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord. Now, when you get older, and you've had these knocks and bruises, and all these scars and things of life, then you start to appreciate this part of it, right? Lean not unto thine own understanding. Because why? Because you know that leads to some troubled times in your life. And so it was with Israel time and time again. You always wonder in the Book of Mormon when you read it, they're up and they're down, they're up and they're down, they're up and they're down. I remember when I was reading, when I grew up, good grief, it sounds like it's, why is it? And then I find out in my own life that path has a familiar ring to it. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, meaning to give your tithings and your offerings, because there's a great blessing that comes from that. because it is a commandment of the Lord. Acknowledging that it's not yours, he has blessed you with those things, right? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out of thy out with new wine. And new wine is that the grapes that have been freshly squeezed. The abundance of that crop. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Don't ever despise that. Neither be weary of his correction. Sometimes that's easy to say, but sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you're going, wow, I don't know if I'll ever make it, right? But it says, be not weary of that. Why? For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. So you can say, may God be blessed. He loves me enough to point out that I'm a stupid idiot sometimes when I do these things. That I have not done the things that God would have me to do. And I find myself wondering if I'll ever make it. But then I have to rely on those beautiful words. Trust in me. It's my grace. My grace is sufficient for you. You have to come back to me. My grace is sufficient for you, and I will carry you. Even as the Father the Son in whom he delighteth, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. So that's a beautiful admonition. I'm going to leave you with one more thing, Nephi's prayer. Just a part of it. In 2 Nephi in the 3rd chapter, starting with verse 61, I'll read down to 66. O Lord, I have trusted in thee. I will trust in thee forever. Why does he say that? Because this was the time in which he had already traveled those many, many miles on foot and in a boat, and now they're in the new lands, and he had trusted in those things that God had so ordained would take place. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. But there is a criteria. He says, yea, my God will give to me if I ask not amiss. Those who are false prophets and false dreamers and all those who are conjuring up things and saying, this is what the Lord said, this is what the Lord is saying, they had, in their pride of their hearts and their desires, is what was motivating them. And it was not the perfect will of God. And they were asking amiss, and he gave it to them. And so what are the people going to do? Are they going to listen to these false narratives, or are they going to listen to the Lord and the things that his plan that he has laid out already in his word, the Bible and the Book of Mormon? Therefore I lift up my voice unto thee, yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Everything point you are focused on Christ completely. It's him. Moses said that there will be a prophet like him. You will listen to him and no other. Those days, the children of Israel, they accepted Moses and Aaron as the spokesman. Why? Because they saw that great mountain and it was on fire and the people had died. And they go, guess what, guys? Moses, you go and find out what the Lord was and you talk to me. But the Lord said there's going to be a new covenant. I'm going to be in your hearts and I will speak to you directly. That's important. That's the difference between the old and the new covenant. And you can ask, but you can ask amiss if you're not careful. I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Amen. May God bless you, each one of you. My prayer is, and my hope, and my desires is for you to be blessed of God. To have families, to grow, and to prosper. But don't be like Israel when you're all fat, sad, happy and in a good place, and the Lord says, come. And you forget the promise. And you don't come like Lot or like in the days of Noah's. You missed it. May God bless you in these things.